Jenny has rubbed off on him. It's affecting how he does things and how he talks. And truly, Jenny Lane and Chris Camp have become one. You know, and that process is a beautiful thing. It's continuing. That's God's plan in marriage. Because she's all in, he's all in. And you know what? I could not say to Jenny, Jenny, all the wonderful parts of being married to Chris is something that you could kind of know about now. The only way she would know the things that she knows now is because she's, through marriage, has stepped across that line. Now she's on the inside and she's walking with him. Now she sees and knows things that she did not know before. In the same way with him. Now you can get a feel for how some things are going to be through the whole dating process. But there's just something wonderful that happens when you have a man and a woman and they are all in spiritually and in every other way. So Nicodemus comes up and talks to Jesus and he kind of wants to know about these things, and he'd love to have all of his questions answered. And Jesus just cuts to the chase. The place where you're going to find your questions answered is after you have been born again. It's a step you have to take. He asks a question. He goes, how can a man be born again when he's old? Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb. And Jesus says, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and born of the Spirit. For flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. The life that the Lord wants to give us, he can give us, is from him. And he comes, and like it says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, it's like he knocks at our heart's door and waits for us to open the door. And I want to tell you what, you don't want to just listen to the knocking, because those who open the door find wonderful things. Wonderful things that you can't know otherwise. Let me share a little bit more with you about this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul talks to those who are trying to handle all the matters of faith just from logic. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul says this. He says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Those who are on the outside and hear the gospel message, they think that it sounds foolish. But for those who have chosen to believe, those of us who are being saved, it's the power of God. He continues the argument, but let me bring you over to the next chapter, chapter 2, beginning with verse 7. Listen to this. Now we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God was prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. When I think about my life, there's nothing I've ever experienced and that is more meaningful to me than my walk with the Lord. And it is the foundation of my life. And when I made a decision to stop doubting and to believe and to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, things changed on the inside. And I get to walk with the Lord. And it's sometimes it's a little bit difficult to try to put into words all that that is. But for those who've taken that step and are walking with the Lord as well, you nod your heads right along with me because you go, I know just exactly what you're talking about. It's wonderful, isn't it? And they nod their head and go, oh, yes, it is. And the older you get and the longer you've walked with him, the sweeter it is. And the more you come to realize just how wonderful it is. As Paul said, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has even conceived all what God has prepared for those who love him. And he's not just talking about heaven. Your mind cannot even imagine how much better your life can be. Your imagination can't even begin to get around how sweet it is to walk with the Lord. Verse 10 says, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. And it requires a leap of faith, a step of trust. There's a little song that came out, I don't know, probably 20 years ago. That's what faith must be. Michael Card, to hear with the heart, to see with the soul, to be guided by a hand I cannot hold, to trust in a way that I cannot see, that's what faith must be. It says, when the universe fell from his fingertips, he decided he wanted some fellowship, but man and woman would not submit, so he made a better way. When the moment was right, he sent his own son, and he opened the way so that everyone could have hope and believe that when the time was done, he'd be able to make us one. To hear with our heart, to see with my soul, to be guided by a hand I cannot hold, to trust in a way that I cannot see, that's what faith must be. Well, now I understand that there is a key. It's Jesus in me, a reality. That God is in Christ, and Christ is in me, and that with faith I see what is unseen. To hear with my heart, to see with my soul, to be guided by a hand I cannot hold, to trust in a way that I cannot see, that's what faith must be. Jesus was calling on Nicodemus to take a step of trust. We know the rest of the story with old Nicodemus. After the resurrection, he was one of the ones that was entrusted with burying the body of Christ. He got to bury it, but as we know the rest of the story, it only stayed in the grave for a very short amount of time. And according to legends, historical legends, Nicodemus went on to be a great Christian leader because he took that step himself. He decided to trust. As I close the message this morning, I'm reminded of another story that we find at the end of John. One of Jesus' apostles who had been with him and had seen all kinds of miracles was Thomas. And after the resurrection, the other apostles had seen Jesus and had talked about it. And Thomas heard the stories and seems like he was just a rather stoic individual, and he's just like, well, I'm hearing what you're saying, but unless I see the nail marks in his hand and I put my fingers where the nails were, till I put my hand in his side where the sword went in, I can't believe it. Well, a week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them, and though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And you can just imagine when that happened, Thomas is thinking, don't call on me. Don't look at me. He's probably putting his head down going, oh, please don't look over here. Please don't look over here. Jesus looked right at him and Thomas is thinking, I know what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen. No. Jesus held out his hand. He says, put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas says, my Lord and my God. And then Jesus says, because you've seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet believed. And he goes on, he says, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life. There's just something about taking that step. I mean, you can know all about, think about Thomas, think about all he had seen. He had seen it, he knew the teachings, but he hadn't taken that step of really believing. And think about Nicodemus, with all of his teaching, he had to be one of the members of the Sanhedrin, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He knew a lot. But Jesus called on him to take that step and to be born again. Flesh gives birth to flesh, and spirit gives birth to spirit. Jesus says, stop doubting and believe. And then Jesus blessed him, and he found life in his name. Well, Nicodemus heard and found life. Thomas found life. I'd like to close with a little illustration. I used to like that show that was on TV, Duck Dynasty. Did anybody watch that? Yeah, I liked that. And it was about a family that was involved in the business making and selling duck calls. And for a while, they were very popular. Yeah, I remember going into Walmart, and they would have lunch boxes and hats and T-shirts, and everybody was wearing them. And I remember at the time, I decided to want to get on the craze, and I bought some Duck Dynasty Band-Aids. And so I brought them home, and I remember Jenny had, like, cut her finger or something. It's like, Mom, is there any Band-Aids? I'm like, oh, yeah, I got a Band-Aid. So she had a Band-Aid with a bearded man on it. But there was more to the family than that. The family was outspokenly Christian. And Phil Robertson tells this story, and I'd like to share it with you. It says, having a hit television show isn't something I ever dreamed would happen to me. These days, fans come out of the woodwork to greet us and often make their way down to our house. Miss Kay and I don't mind having company, but at one point we were getting visitors at all hours of the day and night. And now a man needs his rest if he's going to go duck hunting at 4 a.m, right? So we hired a couple of guys to put up a gate. Well, during the construction, I was approaching our property one day, and I noticed in my rear view mirror a small caravan of 3 cars following me. And when I arrived at the place where the workers were installing the gate, I pulled over to the side of the road. I didn't want to be rude, but I knew these folks would follow me on down to my yard since the gate wasn't up yet. So I got out of my truck and I noticed that the license plates of the other cars were from Illinois, Indiana, and Tennessee. And when folks saw me standing there, they got out of their cars too. And there were 12 of them, all ages, and they walked over to me. I said, let me guess. Y'all want to take a picture with me and maybe have me sign a few autographs, right? They said, yes, they did, if it wouldn't be too inconvenient. So I told them I'd be happy to oblige, but first, I would like to give them a little speech that surprised them. But I went ahead and shared the gospel with them. I figured I'd make the most of the opportunity to redeem the time by telling them about the love of Jesus. I didn't have my Bible with me, so I just told them in my own words how our sin separates us from God, and that because God loves us so much, he sent Jesus to save us from eternal death. And as you can imagine, these people weren't expecting this. But they were really shocked when I concluded by saying, if any of you would like to put your faith in Jesus, we'll do what they did in the book of Acts. I'll take you down to the river over yonder and baptize you right there, right now. just like they did 2,000 years ago. Who wants in? Just raise your hand. And I was delighted to see one guy slip up his hand. Are there any more here who would like to be free from their sins today? I asked. And the other folks hemmed and hawed and basically said, thanks, but no thanks. Well, keep in mind, none of these carloads of people knew each other, having come from different states, but still they followed me to the river to watch as I joyfully baptized a new believer in Christ. I'd say he got the best of that day, and he came to my house for an autograph, but he left with God's love written on his heart. And Jesus wasn't challenging Nicodemus with just some new idea to add to his learning. Jesus wanted to give him something that would change everything. And as I close this sermon here, I believe that it is God who gave me this to share this morning. And maybe there would be one of you, and in your heart of hearts, maybe you even have wondered if I was thinking about you and I was just preaching the message just to you. I honestly don't have anybody in my mind. I just knew I was supposed to share it. And at the end, Phil Robertson asked, who wants to act on this? And I can just imagine those people probably went down and started looking at their feet. But one guy lifted his hand. So, in just a second, Pastor Scott's going to come up. I think the choir is going to sing and this service is going to be over. But I'd like to ask you, are you the one that God had me prepare this service for this morning? Has he talked to you? And do you know that you're supposed to take that step of faith and believe today? Are you the one? If you are, let me tell you what. I'd love to pray with you.